Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host is Iris Bunshaft.
And I'm enjoying every moment with you, John, and our guests.
This is, honestly, it's a great morning. And we're here with Ellen Bauer, and we were talking in reference to, you know, the music and... Helen, what did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Helen Bauer.
Yeah.
Talking in reference to when she had her epiphany, so to speak.
Yes.
But music is not just playing an instrument, especially for Helen. There's management that's coming into it. To be a conductor and a director is more than just being able to play an instrument. And touch on that, if you don't mind. I mean, just...
Sure.
That's a job.
Well, first of all, you wear many hats as a conductor and director and as a teacher, particularly... When you're standing in front of 100 students, there's a lot involved there. First of all, classroom management is enormously important when you're conducting an ensemble. When I was a younger teacher, I had a junior high school band with 120 students, and imagine 120 junior high school kids with instruments, and you have to manage them, and it needs to be a very productive and disciplined experience.
120 kids. Does everybody come in knowing how to play, or some?
Well, yes, I mean
some degree anyway.
Yes, there's of course within any ensemble there's going to be a variance in their degrees of experience. But yes, most people had started taking an instrument in fourth grade.
Okay.
So they had some experience. But so the classroom management piece is very important. And also what I saw as a teacher was that I could use music to also teach them life skills and values. Well, and also life skills and values. I felt that... you know, music and where you need to be a team is a very good way to build esprit de corps, to teach kids about values, giving back to the community.
Right.
So a large part of my program, particularly when I was at the high school, was involving students in community service projects. And I felt that it made the ensemble better because it leveled the playing field and we were all in it together. You know, it didn't matter whether the kids were wealthy or poor. If there was a fundraising opportunity or if there was a food drive going on, my students were always, I expected them to be the leaders at the forefront, doing the most and doing it together. And that was a wonderful experience for them in terms of values and learning. And for many years, every year we had an AIDS benefit concert, and we donated the money to the Children's Inn at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda. And over those years, we probably donated more than $50,000, which was quite extraordinary. One year, the band took on the project of building an HO train layout for the Children's Inn, and we worked on it over a period of months, and we had people in the community involved who bought real estate on the layout and built buildings, and we worked on the project probably for 6 or 7 months, and then
that's like theater
delivered it to the inn, and it was quite a wonderful thing, and the kids were very... proud of. I mean, that was a wonderful, wonderful project. And
well, just to interrupt, and I'm not
sure.
Trying to say that. I'm saying this very honestly. You are not just a teacher of music. You're a teacher of spirit and of soul, which is more important to me. I mean, many people can learn how to play an instrument, but it's not many people that can learn how to give to the community at the same time.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It's really teaching life,
good citizens,
through the study,
respect,
through the study of music,
mm-hmm.
respect, mutual respect, self-discipline, mm-hmm. giving to others, sensitivity to others, working together,
Was there any teacher, obviously, whether you've gotten the feedback through the years, then that's another question I'd like to ask you, but was there any teacher that followed in your footsteps in the schools that you were working with?
In other words, former students of mine?
Well, no, that is one thing, yes. But at the same time, while you were working, there were younger, perhaps, teachers or teachers your own age. And when you moved on, was there someone who was able to step in?
Oh, after you retired, after Helen retired, you mean?
Even if Helen moved on to another venue, whatever, that you influenced someone so that they were able to carry on these things, these wonderful things that you introduced.
I wish I could say it were so.
Oh.
You know, everyone comes to the job with a different sensibility, a different perspective, a different lens. And, you know, so I have not...
There's Did you ever fine, mentor anyone?
There's fine musical things going on, but that other component is no longer in the picture, which is unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
But that was a very unique thing that I did. I'm not aware of that going on in many other school districts. You know, my parents were very civic-minded. They were always making contributions. My dad was on the school board. He was in Rotary. My mother always volunteered at the hospital and so on. I mean, we were a family where we were always helping others and giving back. And for me, it just seemed like the right thing for me to help my students learn that piece of humanity. And they have all been grateful for it,
and
do that in their own teaching and in their own lives, you know. And I see that my daughter, who's a teacher, who's a remarkable, remarkable teacher in the city schools working with the underserved, also brings that sort of humanity to her teaching and helping her students. A great story I like to tell about my daughter. Her first year teaching in Brooklyn, her students had won the stock market game. They were students in her English class. She was not involved in the as an advisor in the stock market game, but they were the students. And so they were going to New York City for a weekend, and of course the students didn't have the right clothes to wear and so on. So anyway, I got a phone call from my daughter, and she said, "Hi, Mom, it's me, and I'm shopping with my students who won the stock market game, and they're so excited, and I just want to let you know I'm putting it on your credit card." And she knew that was exactly the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. They needed help, and
She was there to give it because that, of
yes,
you.
Yes, and right. She was a first-year teacher. She couldn't do it, mm-hmm. and I was fine with that. I was really proud of her for that because they needed help, and she helped them, and she found a way for it to happen, and she knew she could count on me.
Right.
So
that's the person you touched. Sometimes, in a group environment, and I understand where Iris is coming from, that it'd be so wonderful to say, you know, 7 or 8 kids went out, and you still don't know what everybody's doing anyway, but you touched them in little ways. Your daughter, being much closer to you, is more dramatic in her basically assuming your role to some degree
in that
kind of a caring way.
But I'm sure that there were other people,
100%.
other youngsters who had epiphanies from their experience with you, too.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, I hear from hundreds of students, you know, students who stay in touch. And my daughter happened to run into a former student of mine who teaches in the city, and he said, you know, "I can't believe I'm sitting here with Ellen Bauer's daughter, you know, it's just a fluky kind of thing." But he said, "She was the best teacher I ever had. She had so much passion, and there's not a day that I don't bring something from her into my classroom."
Wow,
so,
what a gift he gave back to you.
Yeah, that is, you know, you don't make $1 million teaching, but something like that is priceless. And I loved every day of my 35 years. They were not always easy days. There were a lot of hard days. But it was a joyful experience making music and teaching. My mother used to say she didn't think I had a real job because I liked it so much.
We should all have something
to have fun
like
at
that.
Work, Ellen. Where are you working?
But that actually really is the point, to follow your passions and do what you love. And it makes everything in life great when you're spending such a large piece of time doing something you love.
I agree.
And
For yourself and for those whose lives you're touching every day.
Yes. Yes, and,
we're basically out of time again.
Oh,
and we're flying.
Was that a musical groan?
I think the most important thing to come out of this is that seniors who are listening to the show, and this goes on tape, and this is on the archives, to get their younger grandchildren, adult children, great grandchildren to listen to it, because your enthusiasm, that's the teacher everybody dreams for, that you could put your arm around probably one of these kids and say, hey, you're having a bad day. What's the matter? Mm. Those people remember that versus, did you do your homework, you stupid thing?
Oh,
there's two different ways yes. of approaching a situation.
And
you did it with love and compassion.
And, John, let's repeat again. Helen, you do it so that it's perfect.
Yes.
That your concert, Osnato's...
well, that concert's April 2nd.
April 2nd, we have plenty of time.
Our first concert is November 20th, 3 p.m. at the Wunsch Arts Center in Glen Cove.
Oh, excuse me. So April would be 2017.
2017.
Right, right.
Okay, and the first concert in 2016.
November 20th. At the Wunsch Arts Center in Glen Cove.
At 3 p.m., which we will bring.
3 p.m. and free admission, of course, and it is handicap accessible. Mm.
Terrific.
I look forward to it personally, Helen.
Good. Well, I hope you'll come.
Helen Bauer, who's the director, conductor of the Northwind Symphonic Band, I want to thank you so much. You've been listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.